from the book of Hebrews. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. It might have been Paul, but there's just not enough evidence to say who wrote it. And so we just refer to the person who wrote Hebrews as the writer to the Hebrews. It's a bit annoying, it's a bit long, but that's what we're going to have to do. We'll talk about... I'm coming through, okay? Am I? Yep. So let's just read from Hebrews 11, 8 to 16. It's talking about the patriarchs. So you need to remember that this was a book that was written to Christians, but particularly to Jewish Christians, Jews who'd been converted to Christianity, talking a lot about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who were the patriarchs of the Jews. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And when he went out, not knowing where he was going... Oh, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Okay, so there'll be opportunity for questions following the talk. So if there's anything difficult that I say, please store up those questions for the end. All right, so there's a few words that I just wanted to highlight from the reading. They're great words. That passage is just filled with some really great words. Words like faith, inheritance, promise, foundations, homeland, heavenly country. This reading is about a man and his family who had this long-term goal. It was a long-term goal to see a God-given promise of a very special homeland realized. And they made it their life's aim to move toward that goal. And particularly, they were focused on this homeland, this very special homeland. Now, a homeland's a very special thing. It's the land of your home. It's a place where you belong, a place where you feel comfortable, a place where you have your family, a place where you feel fulfilled, where you feel content. And a person who doesn't have a homeland is also referred to in the passage. And the Bible calls people who don't have a homeland as pilgrims. It refers to them as pilgrims, people who are passing through, always traveling, always moving through, never really putting roots down. Now, Abraham and his family, they are described in that reading as pilgrims and strangers. And so they were passing through. They were passing. They had their eye on the future, their eye on the homeland, but they had to wait for it. They couldn't just obtain it straight away. And they were a family who were absolutely fantastic at waiting. They believed that the wait would be worth it, and so they trusted and they waited. And as I said, the homeland they were waiting for was ultimately not a homeland that they would arrive at in their lifetime on this earth. And so they considered themselves to be strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So they left their homeland, went to the promised land, and dwelt in the promised land in tents. But at the end of Abraham's life, the fact was that all he owned of that land that he had lived in tents during that time, in the time of his life, was a little plot that he had buried his wife in. And yet, the point was, yes, they did end up, the land of Israel was the land of the Jews, of his descendants, but that wasn't the ultimate homeland that they were looking towards. The ultimate homeland was heaven. But the mindset that the Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah had is a mindset that the Bible encourages Christians to have as well. And we need to remember that the writer to the Hebrews was talking to Christians, to Jewish Christians, rather than Gentile Christians. And the book was written to address the doubts of those who were second-guessing their conversion to Christianity. At that time, the Christians were suffering a lot. They suffered a lot of persecution from their pagan neighbors. And they wanted to be convinced that this was true, that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was also the God of Jesus Christ. And so much of the book actually deals with Jewish topics, Jewish themes, and the writer seems to assume that the readers will have a good knowledge of the main figures in the Old Testament, people like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as well as others like Moses and Joshua. And so much of his writing makes links between the ideas of the Jews of the Old Testament and the new doctrines that were being preached by the apostles. So this was really important, the fact that there was a continuity between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so Hebrews is very good in making those links between the old and the new. And so the writer to the Hebrews explains the Old Testament in New Testament terms. For example, in our reading from chapter 11, the writer talks specifically about the life of the original father of the Jews, Abraham, and Isaac and Jacob. And he could have focused on all sorts of different aspects of their lives, their successes, their battles, their personal lives. But what he chose to highlight was their faith in God. In particular, the fact that their faith empowered them to be able to wait patiently for the fulfillment of a wonderful promise that had been made to Abraham. That wonderful promise of future blessing that God had made, not only with Abraham, but also repeated with Isaac, repeated with Jacob, and also to Sarah as well. The faith and trust in God that these family members had was displayed as something that was almost tangible, as something that was very, very real to Abraham and his family. And it talks about their obedience. It says there in our reading, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in the tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The faith that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob had produced actions. Their faith was displayed in the actions that they took, in Abraham obeying, in him going out, in him dwelling in the land that didn't belong to him at the time, in his being able to wait. Those were actions that showed how much faith Abraham had in the promise that God had given him. And what he was waiting for was, at the end there in green, it says, he was waiting for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So it wasn't just an earthly nation or an earthly city that he was looking for. He was looking toward a heavenly city. And I want us to think about cities for a second. I teach Year 8 Geography, and the first term we looked at the various megacities in the world. Okay, so there's a megacity is a city with over 10 million people living in it. Examples of megacities are places like Tokyo, New York, Shanghai, London, a number of other Asian cities as well. And it was quite interesting, actually, going through the unit and realizing how in cities you have basically a melting pot of people with amazing gifts and talents. And in the cities, that's where we see the use of those gifts and the use of the expertise that God has given to mankind. And we often focus on the negatives of cities. We think about the crime, the pollution, but it's interesting that in the Bible, heaven itself is described as a city. And here in our reading, we learn that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob exercised amazing faith as they held on to God's promise of a heavenly city that would one day be theirs. Now, I started off by talking about how none of us in our fast food, fast life culture are particularly good at waiting or happy to wait. But I think the truth is that each of us is happy to wait if we know that something good is in the pipeline. For example, Janine and I have got something really positive in the pipeline that we're waiting for. We're going on a cruise in early January. And the cruise has been booked for months, and yet we're happy to wait, and we're happy to plan what we're going to be doing those 12 days on shore, on the ship. We're happy to plan because we have faith that will happen. That at the end of come early January, we'll be on the ship. So we look forward positively to that event, and we are excited about what is in store for us. Our reading shows us that Christians have a similar anticipation and expectation when it comes to realizing their heavenly reward. Certainly, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob are presented as model examples of how we should think of our eternal future. The way we think is quite important. A lot of people think about religion a bit like they think of taking a trip to the supermarket. Okay, when you head down to Woolies to do your shopping every week, you don't want long lines. You want to be able to get in there, get what you need, then get out as fast as you can, go home and enjoy the yummies that you've bought down at the store. And for many people, religion is about making this life better. It's about making our journey through this life, through this place, better. And so for many people, religion is really not about the future. Religion is actually more about the here and now. There are many people who think that you have religion in order to secure benefits in the short term. You worship God with the expectation that he'll reward your service with prosperity or a painless life or a sickness-free life or a great job or a beautiful wife or lots of children. Sadly, there are some churches that even basically promote themselves that way. That's called the prosperity gospel. They talk about giving God a gift. Give a $1,000 gift. I saw this actually when we were in Vanuatu. They had this. They didn't have much TV at all, but one of the channels that they had was the Trinity Broadcasting channel, and it just had everything. It was all Joel Osteen and who's that annoying woman?
Joyce.
Thank you, Joyce Meyer. It was just those guys, constantly talking about how God will bless you if you have faith and give a $1,000 gift to the church. And so, and they were saying things like, you know, you'll get a 400 to 500% return on your investment. And they were really selling religion that way. It was quite sad to see. That religion's a false religion. And Christians who are really focused on the true treasure have a wonderful future to look forward to. Christians have something that is so much better than religion. We have Jesus Christ. We have Jesus Christ. We have his love. We have his forgiveness. We have his promise of eternal life in the heavenly city with him. We have faith in a person. We don't have faith in an organization or in a way of life. That is not what our security rests in. Our security rests in a person called Jesus Christ who loved us, who came to earth, who died on the cross to pay for sins that we committed, to take the penalty for the sins that we should have taken upon ourselves for our sin. So Christians are looking forward to something so much better than that trip to the supermarket that we want to get in and out of quick and get some instant gratification. We have a long-term focus that is solid and exciting and assured. It's a spiritual reality that we won't even see in this life. All we'll get is a sniff of it, just like Abraham's family did. As we saw in our reading, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. They knew that it was coming. They embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. The homeland that Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob sought is the very same homeland that Christians seek today. And it's the same homeland that I'm seeking, and I hope that you're seeking as well. And that's what the writer to the Hebrews was telling these Jewish Christians. He was saying to them, yes, I know you're going through a difficult time. I know that you're suffering. I know that you are being persecuted. But keep your eye on the prize. This is a wonderful homeland that is worth waiting for. You will arrive at that spiritual home eventually. So as we wait, like the Jewish patriarchs, we do go through these difficult times, and so we need to exercise our faith as we go through our lives. Lives that are led in anticipation of future spiritual blessing will look very different to the lives of those who are just living for the here and now. Okay, if we're living our lives in faith, what we do is going to be very different to those who are just focused on the here and now. If we're living our lives in faith, we'll trust in God, just like Abraham and his family did. We'll follow God's rules of faith and life because that's what's going to be good for us. We will follow them because also we want to be like our Savior. We want to be like Jesus Christ. and because we will draw closer to God that way if we follow him. And our relationship with God will flourish as a result. What we'll also find when we do that is that the earthly success of our lives will become a much lower priority. Money won't be the most important thing. Power and success won't be the thing that drives us. Satisfying physical desires won't be the day-to-day activity that keeps us occupied. The focus of a true Christian is the prize at the end, that heavenly city whose builder and maker is God. That's certainly something that I'm hoping for and something that I'm happy to wait for. And I hope that if you haven't yet put your faith and trust in God, that you will do that, that you will look to his promises, and that you'll see, like Abraham and his family, that there isn't anything more meaningful that you can do with your life than to claim that heavenly prize by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's the one who holds the keys to that heavenly city, and he's given us, each one of us, every single person in this world has that free offer of the gospel, that free offer. We have been invited, every single one of us, to come to him. And what we need to do is to do that, to believe his promises and to trust in him for the future. I just want to finish with a verse from 1 Timothy 4, verse 10. It says, "For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe." So God is our Savior, and we look to him to fulfill his promise, and we have confidence that he will definitely do that. So let's have some questions, if you've got any questions. No questions tonight. It's a fairly straightforward message, but it's a wonderful thing to really think about. Okay, it's pretty straightforward, but very, very meaningful and life-changing. Yes? I beg your pardon? Fake religion. Okay, so those people who were focused on just making a religion or following a religion just to help their lives here and now, okay? So that's a very narrow focus, okay? It's something that the Bible says, no, we need to look for more than just God blessing us in this life. We need to be able to look to our eternal future, okay? So we're only here for 80 or so years, okay? If you live to 90, you've lived a pretty long life. And so after that, what's going to happen after that? And a lot of people don't think enough about that. There's more of a focus on your life here and now than preparing for eternity. All right, let's finish off with a song, "Along for the Day."